reckon is the record anybody here has had to wait at the A&E? Who's had to wait an hour? Anybody had to wait an hour at A&E? Yes? 2 hours? 3 hours? 6 hours? Anybody in advance on six? Yeah? No. Seven? Anything? Seven? We've had 7 hours. Eight? Longer than eight? Oh, what about getting an appointment with the doctor?
3 weeks.
3 weeks, okay. Yes, I need to be surgeon, yeah? Ooh, well, we can fit you in a month. Yes, all lovely. No, they're not always as bad as that. But, quite honestly, the temptation is to think, what's the point? What's the point? A&E, you're waiting for so long. You're good. You want to see a doctor, you're waiting for so long. Why do we go to A&E? Why do we go to the doctor? Why do we go to the pharmacist? What for? To get better. Exactly. I'm just going to switch off a speaker which is whistling. Naughty. Yes, that'll sound funny on the recording. Anyway, we go to the hospital, to the doctor, to get better. We go for healing. Why do you think people flocked to Jesus in their hundreds, in their thousands even? Why do you think they went to see Jesus? To get healing. Yes, he was an amazing teacher. And people would say, who is this? He teaches with authority. Wow, amazing teaching, fantastic stories, but people went to him for healing. I wonder how many people got healed. Anybody like to give an estimate? No. Well, no, I mean, we have no idea. It said, as we go through the Bible, the Gospel account, we read of he healed. If you like, we read of the highlights. Jairus' daughter, who was dead, he brought her back from the life. A man with a withered hand, he healed that man. Or the person lowered through the roof, he healed that person, and others and others and others. But then you'll get a couple of sentences with, and Jesus healed many others. Wow. Or from morning till evening, Jesus healed. The feeding of the 5,000. One of the first things he did, it just said in Mark that he healed. And I think it says, I looked through, it's the one miracle that's in all four Gospels. And some of them put emphasis on the teaching of Jesus and others on his healing. But he healed. And there were 5,000 people. So an awful lot of people. Why did he do that? Well, again, the answer it's in the Gospels where Jesus looked out on the multitude and he had compassion on them because they were as sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion on them. And that compassion, what did it lead him to do? Well, we have the answer here. Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. To give his life as a ransom for many. Give his life. Of course, ultimately he did that on the cross. He gave his life on the cross. But he did it throughout his ministry as well. You know how we say of someone, say a football team or a cause to keep a hospital open or to revive something, and they work and they work and they work, and we say, well, that person has given their life to that cause or to that work, whatever it is. Jesus gave his life, not just on the cross, but in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of little, of smaller ways in his earthly ministry. And it was exhausting. You remember the account that when Jesus was on his way to Jairus' daughter, He was being jostled by the crowd, but in that crowd there was a woman who had been ill for 12 years with internal bleeding. The details we don't know. But she said, if I can just touch his cloak, I will be healed. And she somehow got through the crowd, somehow touched his cloak, and Jesus stopped. He said, someone touched me. Who was it touched me? And Peter was a bit puzzled because he said, Lord, they're all bustling about you, knocking you about. How can you say who touched me? He said, I know someone touched me, for power came out of me. Every time Jesus healed, it drained him a bit. It wasn't just a toot, 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 toot. It drained him. Of course, the ultimate giving of himself was on the cross. And I wonder what he hoped to achieve there. Well, that comes, we look in our Old Testament reading, in Isaiah 53. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Well, what does that mean? He took upon himself our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Well, Paul has a suggestion in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He says, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That other hymn, there was, that has the lines, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the door of heaven and let us in. Wonderful. Jesus died so that we might go to heaven. And is that it? Is it just about getting us to heaven in this life? Nothing to do with this life? No, 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 no. Jesus died on the cross. He gave himself for us so that we might have life in all its fullness. As Jesus said, the good shepherd comes to give life to the sheep, us, in all its fullness. Now, sometimes that fullness is taken away from us for various reasons, and that fullness can be taken away through illness, through suffering. And I believe that in heaven, and it says in Revelation that I'm right in this case, in heaven there is no illness, there is no sickness. I believe that when the world was first created, there was no illness. Again, it doesn't matter if you take Adam and Eve literally or whether it's just a picture, but in God's full intention, the world was made perfect and without illness, without suffering. Hard work, yes, but without suffering. There is illness, there is suffering. There's pollution in the world too, isn't there? And we see that when there is pollution, things go wrong. The coral reef is being destroyed by pollution. Not because the coral reef has been naughty and is polluting itself. No, it's because others are causing pollution. Animals, birds suffer from the plastic and so on. We've seen, if you've watched any of the Andra programs, we've seen that. It's not that the animals or the birds are being particularly naughty or polluting the world. Others are polluting their suffering. In the same way, I believe that illness and suffering is in this world because of sin. Please do not think that I am saying, if you sin, you get ill. I am not saying that. But sin is present in the world and it affects us all. It wipes out. And some people, through no fault of their own, are ill. Sometimes it's a cold and that comes and goes. Others, it's long term. And it's much harder to cope with. Sin in the world causes illness unfairly. Just like pollution causes others to suffer unfairly. When Jesus healed, he showed that he was more powerful than sin and the effects of sin. But on the cross, it did look like he was defeated, didn't he? I mean, he died on the cross, for goodness sake. But we know the end of the story. He rose again. Sin, death was overcome. But at what a cost. a cost. When he rose again, and he appeared to the disciples, and he said to them, and they were all there, except for Thomas. Thomas wasn't there. And the disciples, when they saw Thomas again, they see the Lord, he's risen again. Oh yeah, he said, the dead don't rise. Unless I see the marks in his hands and his feet and the wound in his side, I will not believe. When Jesus returned a bit later, what did he do? How did he convince Thomas that he was the same Jesus who had died? He showed him his hands, the marks, exactly. He showed his disciples his wounds. He is victorious, but he is a wounded healer. And then after the resurrection, he was around with the disciples for a while, and then he leaves. After 40 days, he leaves. So now what? Is that it? The end? No. He promised before he died to his disciples, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. That person will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. The work of Jesus continues, and we are called to continue that work. We're not in full health, well, that doesn't matter. It's not nice, but it shouldn't stop us doing the work of God. We're all wounded. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We're all wounded. Some can hide their wounds, others can't. But the good news is that there is hope. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. By his wounds we are healed. Today is a communion service, and again tonight. And every time we have communion, in a way, we are being offered the wounds of Jesus. The wounds of Jesus. So let's receive from Jesus what he has to offer. Let's receive from him his healing. Let's receive from him his wholeness. Let's receive from him life in all its fullness. And then pass it on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that it is by his wounds we are healed. And we pray that we may receive from you through his wounds healing, wholeness, life in all its fullness. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Can I encourage you now then to, if you are able,